Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyard, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Things are going well around the country, Doug McBurney. How are you?
Just fantastic.
Doug, there's personhood news everywhere we look. Jill Stanek's blog.
Yeah.
Of course, Washington Times also article today. But Jill Stanek's blog, she's a leading pro-life blogger. Seven states pursue personhood rights, and that's out today.
Seven.
Seven states are full bore ahead.
Are they counting Colorado in that?
Not yet. We got to introduce, of course, a personhood bill. And they're also not counting Georgia. Georgia Right to Life.
Right.
Dan Becker's been working with American Right to Life. They have a human life amendment, personhood bill, that they're moving along with. So, and they're not counting in Washington, D.C., the Life at Conception Act.
Oh, wow.
So this is all over the country.
I just talked to a fellow before we got on the air, Bob, who said one of his biggest concerns is FOCA. I said,
FOCA.
Tune in to the broadcast today because you're going to want to find out about
Freedom
what
of
this
Choice
is all
Act.
About.
Barack Obama's Freedom of Choice Act
trumps
the regulations of the last 40 years.
It would literally overturn them.
It would overturn all these regulations, which are built in sand. Jesus said, build on rock. Don't build on sand, and then the waves of just one election cycle in 40 years is wiped away. Instead, build on personhood because FOCA trumps regulations, and personhood trumps FOCA.
Amen. Amen. And now there's the Washington Times.
Yeah.
Out today, the headline is, Bill calls human embryo, quote, person.
The Washington Times.
Washington Times.
And they're talking about North Dakota's legislature.
Yeah, but interestingly enough, the dateline is Denver, Colorado.
Dateline, Denver, Colorado, February 24th, 2009. Washington Times is back east.
Yeah.
That's because Denver is the vortex.
That's right. That's right. It's the movement. The movement began
here. The personhood movement. And this article.
And this studio is the crossroads the personhood leadership
comes together.
And that's why we've got to keep you on the air. But I'll get back to that later.
This article talks about North Dakota's personhood bill. A fertilized egg is a person. And it passed their House.
Wow.
It could go to their Senate next week. And the governor of North Dakota said he'd sign it.
Really?
Well, he said he'd sign a personhood bill. So this will put him to the test.
Amazing.
And so the Washington Times says they quote Keith Mason of Personhood USA.
Yeah.
This is groundbreaking stuff for us in the pro-life movement, founder of Colorado-based Personhood USA.
Praise God. Now, Bob.
Yeah.
What people who are not on board with personhood yet have a tendency to think that maybe the timing is not right. And what if we lose the election, Bob? What if
What if we lose? We are fighting to teach people about the God-given right to life. And Jesus wasn't timid and said, well, what if they don't believe me? I better not say anything.
No, he was
not. Of course, you teach people the truth. What if they refuse and keep blacks as slaves? Does that mean you're petrified and you don't fight to teach people that a black person is a human being? What if they disagree about the Jews being people? So are you stymied? Of course not.
Well, Bob, I think right now some people are. Some people are.
Right, they're fear motivated.
Just like people back then were and didn't.
People back then. And you know, in Germany, in Europe, if you fought for the rights of Jews, you'd be killed.
Right.
Today, they just look at you funny.
Yeah, you don't get invited to certain parties.
Yeah,
so come on.
We don't have a good argument. Anyway,
yeah, amen,
praise
Bob.
God for these stories out across the country. Seven states,
wow.
Behind the times already. Eight states, Washington, D.C., fighting for the personhood of the unborn. And we are teaching people that the unborn child has a right to life. That's what we got to do.
Yeah.
Teach, affirm, correct, and that's what we're doing.
And it might be a long lesson, Bob. We might not win
this
election. We might not win in every state that we attempt to put.
Right.
But what we will do is we will force the people to take a stand and to look at the idea that this is a person.
And we are correctly defining what it means to be pro-life. Keith Mason points out that to be pro-life is going to mean you support personhood or you don't.
Wow.
If you don't support personhood, you're not pro-life.
Wow.
And that's on Jill Stanek. And you know what else is on Jill Stanek today? She says, and where's National Right to Life? They've been strangely silent.
They have.
And she says, how about James Bopp, their general counsel, their attorney for 30 years?
Mm-hmm.
We haven't heard from James Bopp, she said, Jill Stanek, since he bashed Colorado's personhood initiative.
That was the last time I recall hearing from him.
And you know what's interesting about that? That's when, a year ago?
Yeah.
Brian Rohrbaugh wrote The Legacy of Judas, exposing James Bopp's destructive influence on protecting the right of the unborn.
Wow.
And his complicity in Mitt Romney's campaign. Mitt Romney, who's an aggressive pro-abort. And James Bopp, National Right to Life, supporting Mitt Romney, a pro-abort?
Well, Bob, there's a paradigm shift that's happening in the pro-life movement, and James Bopp does not want to be left behind.
So he's been silent for a year. That could be. Maybe they want to decide how to remake themselves.
I think it's a matter of he just hasn't come around yet.
Yeah.
But there is room and there is time for them to get involved.
Yeah, and so the Washington Times, they talk about, North Dakota... How about North Dakota Right to Life? How about National Right to Life? Where are they?
Mm.
What's going on? So eventually, as Cal Zastro always said, we'll say to these people, welcome aboard.
Amen.
Eventually, when they
realize. There's plenty of room on the boat.
Welcome aboard.
Plenty of room, and the tide is rising. Bob, the telethon is just going gangbusters.
The Bob Benjamin Live Telethon?
We are quickly approaching our goal. Remember, Bob, you announced the
$20,000 to keep the radio show on another year.
That's right.
And $10,000.
The big news.
To get Bob and Your Live, the TV show, back on the air in Denver.
Yes.
Is that going to happen?
It is going to happen.
It
Bob,
is
of
happening.
Of course it's going to happen. I said the tide is rising.
Starting when?
It's almost over, as a matter of fact. People only have 4 or 5 days more to be involved in this telethon and to bring in that additional $10,000 in order to put classic Bob Enyart Live back on TV.
Back on TV. And when? What is the date? When is Bob Enyart Live going back on TV in Denver?
A May 1st launch date has been set.
May 1st.
May 1st, 2009.
That's exciting. Right. It's a Friday, Saturday night show.
Yeah.
Late night.
Right.
When the heathens, our all-time slot.
When the heathens are clicking through trying to find out what to watch.
Just when the liberal thought it was safe to turn on the TV.
Amen.
We're back.
But folks, you'll want to call
us. They'll have
a
heart attack, Doug. They'll have a heart attack.
Well,
liberals, homosexuals, pro-aborts, Planned Parenthood, the atheists.
Well, hopefully if they do have a heart attack, they don't die right away. Because as you've documented in the past, when faced with imminent death,
people get saved.
A lot of people get
people
saved.
People turn to Jesus Christ.
So if we do induce a heart attack, we
so
hope that
just going on the air might save some
it
people.
It could save some people.
Anyway, Doug but McBurney, thank you. So the telethon, the February telethon broadcast, it's been going great.
Yes.
Thanks for your help.
Well, we're making it happen, Bob. It's the audience that's making it happen because I believe in this ministry. Our audience believes in this ministry. That's why they listen. And the number to call, if you want to be a part of our success, you've got to call now. It's 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Give us a call. Be a part of keeping this broadcast on for another year, putting Bob back on TV. Praise the Lord. Be a part of it. Call us now.
Wow. Thank you so much, Doug McBurney. What a thrill. Now, Doug, maybe at the end of the show you could come back on and join me. Or maybe could you sit in? I'm going to talk to Bill Keller.
I would love to sit in.
LivePrayer.com. Turns out the IRS is targeting our dear friend, evangelist, Bill Keller. And Bill is on the air. My producer got him. Bill, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Bob, how you doing, my friend?
I am doing so great, but when I heard that the St. Petersburg Times has you on the front cover today, Bill, and that the IRS is going after you because you warned people about Mitt Romney not being Christian, not being pro-family, not being pro-life, well, good for you in warning people. The IRS, they're mad at you?
Well, this has been going on for about a year now. Back in 07, when I was on all the cable news shows trying to educate people that a Mormon's no more a Christian than a Muslim is,
right.
It obviously drew the ire of the Mormon cult, And it also got one Barry Lynn all upset.
Barry Lynn, we've had him on the show, right, yeah. Doug McBurney?
Yes, yes.
We've had Barry Lynn, separation of church and state. That's his dig.
That's bailiwick, yeah.
By the way, just for your audience's information, Barry's brought about 73 inquiries to the IRS trying to get people's exemption pulled, and he is right now 0-73, which isn't a very good batting average.
And Barry Lynn, now this is interesting, Bill. I interviewed him just a few months ago, and I told him that we were preaching political sermons. You know, that's all we do, pretty much. And Barry Lynn, I asked him, what denomination is he? And, you know, he's the same denomination as Barack Obama's church.
That's right.
With the Reverend Wright. And at their national conference, it was the most politically charged denominational conference in recorded history.
Well, you know who the keynote speaker at their national conference was, don't you?
No.
Barack Obama.
Barack Hussein Obama, yeah.
Barack Obama. But wait, Bill, he didn't manage to make it about two sentences before he got into a political commercial for himself. And I asked Barry Lynn, I said, Barry, did you file a complaint against your own denomination?
Right.
And he said, oh, no, no, no. And I said, well, your denomination is about the most politically active in the country. Have you ever filed a complaint with the IRS against your own denomination? Oh, no, 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 I never have. So he's a hypocrite. And he's an enemy of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he hates
and he exposes those who would promote the gospel.
Absolutely.
And he tries to get this gag order enforced on Christians.
Just to add, I mean, everything you said is exactly right. He's a tool of Satan, and he is out there working daily trying to stifle people. And he's very successful in what he does. And people like Barry Lynn is one reason why we have such gutless preachers out there. Now they're scared to death of guys like Lynn.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. And I asked him if in Barry Lynn's America, if we had a politician like, you know, let's say a national socialist who wanted to kill Jews.
Right.
And this person was coming to prominence, if he would want the ministers to remain silent about a politician who wants to kill, you know, whatever, lynch blacks or kill Jews.
Right.
And in Barry Lynn's America, yes, he would want the churches to remain silent if a child killer, somebody was a racist, a Jew hater was coming to prominence. He would want the churches to remain silent. So Germany, really, 1930s Germany is Barry Lynn's America.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and again, a lot of this stems from, you know, for your audience's edification, Barry Lynn used to be an ACLU operative, so that should tell your audience a lot of where his mindset comes from.
Yeah, ACLU.
His reverend title is it does nothing but make a mockery of the pastorate and the church.
Yeah,
that's true. The ACLU, Antichrist Legions of the Underworld.
Amen.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Yep. So, okay.
Well, I was going to ask Bill. Bill, it sounds like this is Doug McBurney, by the way. Nice to make your acquaintance.
Hi, Doug.
Over
how
the
you
radio.
Doing, sir?
Well, Bill, you sound like a guy who's right up our alley. And how do we avoid any problems with our good friends at the IRS?
Well, there really is no way to avoid this. I mean, and bottom line, this is, you know, I didn't just start talking about Mormons when Mitt Romney came to prominence. I didn't start talking about politicians supporting slaughtering babies when Barack Hussein Obama rose to power and Hillary Clinton was a viable candidate. I didn't talk about wishy-washy people who use their faith for votes like John McCain when, you know, he can't even tell people when he was saved. You know, I have lambasted all these folks. I mean, nobody was harder on Bush than I was his second term for conning Christians not one time but two times into voting him into the presidency on the spiritual issues of the day when he did zero. So, I mean, I've been dealing with this stuff for 20 years.
Right.
And apparently, the IRS, I came in their purview, and back in February, they sent me a letter telling me that I was under investigation. And my angst right now, my frustration right now lies in the fact that, first of all, everything I've said that they are investigating has been in the public domain. They never even really needed to send me a letter. They could have just said, hey, we're either yanking your exemption or watch it next time, buddy. Yeah. But instead, they start this full-scale investigation, which we've complied with, where they start out asking for records, and then 3 months later, with no end in sight, they ask for more. We've been down that road now four times for document requests with these people, and they're no closer to giving us an answer today than they were a year ago. And, you know, my position is, hey, if you think I've done something wrong, the statements I've made are in the public domain, you've got them on record, yank my exemption, we'll go to the federal courts and we'll fight it out there. If I haven't, then quit harassing me and leave me alone.
Yeah, very good, Bill, and thank you for your courage. The question is, where does our right to free speech come from?
Why, isn't that the First Amendment or the Second Amendment? It's one of the amendments.
Well, it's in the Bill of Rights, but you know what's interesting about this, Bill Keller? When Barry Lynn was on this show, I asked him specifically, I said, Barry, does the right to free speech come from God or the government? Where does it come from, according to Barry Lynn? And he answered, quote, I got a transcript here, actually it comes from the government. And I said, Barry, you are a traitor to Jesus Christ. He is our creator. He's the one who gave you the right to life and the right to own property. Rights don't come from the government. If they did, the government could say that you could own blacks and kill Jews.
Well, again, part of my frustration comes from the fact, I've been in the ministry almost 20 years now. I'm fully aware of what the statute says. It says, and I am of the opinion that, hey, if you want to fall under their exemption and take advantage of their exemption, then, you know, you got to follow the rules. I don't have a problem with that. The rules clearly state you can't endorse a candidate. Right. You can't tell people who to vote for, who not to vote for. You can't give money. And I have never done any of that. When, in fact, you've got high-profile guys out there, like, you may know this thing, Kirby John Caldwell. He's the black pastor of the largest Methodist church in the country in Houston, who swore in George Bush during his first time. This guy was out there actively endorsing and campaigning for Obama.
Right.
Why aren't they going after that guy? Because that's a clear violation of his exemption.
Right.
And there's other very notable people out there who are actively campaigning in clear violation of their exemption.
Yeah.
So my beef with the IRS isn't the fact that I don't agree with their rules. I'm willing to play by their rules, but now it looks like they're trying to move the ball. And the larger picture here for pastors and people like yourself and others in the ministry is, you know, where are they going to draw the line next to try to stifle us from being able to speak out on issues like abortion, gay marriage, life issues, Israel? Where does that line get drawn?
Well, so Bill Keller, by the way, your website is liveprayer.com. And according to the St. Petersburg Times today, your daily devotional goes out to 2.5 million people a day.
Praise the Lord. Wow.
Right.
Live prayer. You guys have answered hundreds of thousands of prayer requests.
Actually, about 70 million in 10 years.
70 wow. million. Hundreds of 40, thousands 000, a year.
40,000 a day.
And you're on a radio show weeknights.
Yep, radio show weeknights. Our TV show was on for 6 years, live every night from 1 to 2 in the morning for 6 years on the CBS station in Tampa.
You got in hot water because you told people that Muhammad was a false prophet and Allah was not a god.
I told people he was a murdering pedophile, which by their own writings he was. And, of course, Kara got involved, and CBS wanted to try to censor my show after that, and I told them, forget it, so we moved it to the Internet.
All right, very good. So, Bill, with the 501c3 regulations on churches and nonprofits, I think that we should follow the lead of Dr. D. James Kennedy and work toward a time when all that is repealed.
Really?
When there is no such, because there should not be a government scheme to put a gag rule on ministers.
I agree.
So we should work toward that end. And in the meantime, you know, Bob, in your life, Doug, you remember that we told the IRS, forget a 501c3.
Yeah.
Forget it. We're going to tell people that Mitt Romney is a child killer and don't vote for him.
Yeah.
And the Republican Party has become a party of compromising child killers. So figure out who's telling you the truth and do what's right. Don't get scammed into thinking that John McCain supports the right to life of unborn children. He is a child killer. So, Bill, we're in a different position here at Bob and Yurt Live. But I think that all Christians, everyone, should work toward the repeal of any kind of gag rule on ministers.
There's... Well, and again, I'm fully in support of any of those type of efforts. And I guess my frustration, again, in all this comes from the fact that after 20 years, again, I know where the line is drawn.
I know what we're allowed to do, not to do.
And we haven't done that, which is why I don't have a problem telling the IRS, fine, you know, you don't like what I said, yank my exemption, because I would love for this to go into federal court, because that may be the start of getting all this stuff taken care of once and for all.
That's why I like you, Bill Keller. Bill Keller is gutsy.
Yeah, he's great. Now, Bob, you pointed out that our right to free speech comes to us from God, and therefore the government has no right to
they
violate
They have no
that.
Right.
But
right, true.
The rules of the IRS come from the IRS, and if they want to somehow hamper your ministry or hinder your ministry...
Right.
They can and will do that depending on
they
how the bureaucrats
they do it.
Feel against your particular view, and they don't like us.
And our Christian leaders were pretty much asleep at the switch decades ago when the government said, you know what, we'll make it really easy for you to get tax-exempt funds.
Yeah.
People could get tax deductions when they give you money. Just sign right here that you will not speak publicly about political issues.
Yeah.
So pretty intense.
And again, just to give your listeners a little insight, you know, what they've done with me is I in my gut, I feel that they know that they probably aren't going to prevail in federal court. Mm-hmm. So rather than issue an opinion, rather than issue a ruling, what they've done with me for the last year is try to tie me up administratively by making all these requests for documents and information.
Yeah, right. They're experts at that, Bill Keller.
You're exactly right. It's really become more of a harassment issue now more than anything else.
They're harassing you to wear you down and to intimidate you. I'd like to quote the front page of the St. Petersburg Times today. Some guy named Bill Keller said this. He said, if they're successful in shutting me down, then basically what that is saying to other ministries is they are no longer allowed to speak out on the spiritual issues of the day that also transcend into the political arena. Mm. Bill Keller, so many spiritual issues transcend into politics. God said, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness against your neighbor, do not commit adultery. These are spiritual, moral, and governmental issues.
Right.
Wow. Yeah.
That's true. And you know, this... Bill, your travails remind us that the battle we're in is real. They can intimidate us, and they can try to destroy us. And I guess it is more than if we get involved in this battle, it is more than just dirty looks at parties. I mean, if they can stick the IRS on you, that's scary. We've got to stand together.
Yeah.
Well, and again, this is the reason why we've got a generation, and I don't hesitate to say this for an instant, because after 10 years of dealing with millions of people all over the world, I can say this with great conviction. We have a generation, for the most part, of gutless, spineless, jellyfish pastors who are more interested in speaking out of a book of poetry and the New Age ramblings of an Eckhart Tolle than the Bible, because they're scared to death of offending the government, and they're scared to death of offending somebody in their congregation who might be writing them a check. So it's much easier to pull a Joel Osteen and become a cotton candy gutless preacher and preach a motivational message, or go the route of a Rick Warren and preach about starving kids in Africa rather than the issues of the day. Because I'm here to tell you right now, if any of your listeners thinks that this economic crisis is anything but the judgment of God coming down on the nation, they are as spiritually blind as those idiots in Washington.
Well, you know, when you put your fist up toward God, you disobey God, you mock him, then you reap the whirlwind.
There are real consequences.
There are real consequences, and people are suffering. And you, the darker it gets, the brighter the light of Christ.
Amen.
And, hey, Bill, we're so thrilled that we're in the battle with you because you give me a lot of encouragement, Bill. You just don't. You are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
No, you preach it, brother.
That's right. So thank you.
I've got no choice because the bottom line is, just like everyone, I'm going to die one day and stand before God, and I want that to be a great experience, not one to dread.
Amen.
Well, thank
good
you.
Good advice.
Bill Keller, so your website, liveprayer.com, and people could sign up for your daily devotional, right?
Yep, it's free. They can sign up on the website. And, of course, if anybody in your audience needs prayer, they can click on the prayer request link. And like I said, I got a great team of over 700 retired pastors around the country, and we respond to a little over 40,000 every day, and we're happy to pray for anybody.
Hey, Bill, thank you for that. And maybe you could give a treat to my audience in parting here. On Friday, I interviewed Ann Coulter, now there's a website, AnnCoulterApology.com. But when I asked her about her claim that Mitt Romney governed as a pro-lifer when he funded elective surgical abortions, he was radically pro-abortion as a governor.
Yep.
She
yep.
wrote that he governed as a pro-lifer. When I asked her that, she said, oh, I got to go, and she hung up.
She went to the early bird dinner with her mom.
Now, didn't you interview Ann Coulter just a couple weeks ago?
Well, I had her on my program.
Oh, really?
I guess it's about 3 weeks ago. I took a little different tact than you. I gave her about 10 minutes to pimp her book because you know that's how I got her on the show to begin with.
Yeah.
But then I took her off her talking points and I started to talk about her own Christianity, which was a very interesting conversation that actually I was able to do a whole nother show around as she talked about her own spiritual journey. And she never could pinpoint, even though she calls herself a Christian, that moment in time when she confessed her sins and accepted Christ as her Savior, she continually referred to it as a journey, You know, it's very New Ages. And then once I got her kind of comfortable talking about herself a little bit, then I just flat out asked her, I said, you know, if you believe in the Bible as you say, if you believe in Christ as you say, how could you endorse somebody from a cult that's going to lead people's souls to hell? And I got the same reaction you did. The interview, I've got to go. I got people waiting for me, blah, blah, blah.
Well, so you mentioned Mitt Romney or no?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, so then you mentioned Mitt Romney because he's a Mormon.
And like I said, I laid out, I said, listen, you know, according to biblical Christianity, Mormonism is a cult. She tried to get off then. I wouldn't let her. I said, Mormonism is a cult. People who follow those lies of Joseph Smith are going to die and go to hell. Mm. How, as a Bible-believing Christian, could you endorse anyone for any reason that is ultimately have the influence to lead people's souls to hell? Mm. And that's when she did then jump off the phone and just absolutely left.
All right. Bill Keller, thanks so much for joining us.
God bless you, Bob. Pray for you and your ministry.
All right. May God bless you. Doug McBurney, we're out of time. There's the music.
There's the music.
Call us, 800-836-9278. Maranatha, what a great school. And our website is KGOV.com.